Okay, so the Gemara was talking about Dayavish and his different stages in life. And the Gemara had said at the end that there was one point in life where Shehichmit, and one place before Hichmit, before he became a Rasha. And the Gemara asked what he did that was so bad. And the Gemara says because he gave all this money, he donated all this money and made dedications to the Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara sounds like it's a nice thing to do. And the Gemara says he did it all so that he and his children shall have a long life. The Gemara says, what's wrong with that? Isn't that a wonderful thing to give tzedakah for the sake of one's children? The Gemara says, no. Gemara first quotes the Braisa, Ha'omer selazu l'tzedaka b'shvil sheyichyu b'ni, u'b'shvil she'eska balachai hol maba. Ha'reza yastad gamar. The Gemara says, that's a wonderful thing, to give tzedakah with the intention of the children and the individual themselves having ol maba. That's a tzad gamar. And the Gemara says, there's a distinction between kan b'yisrael, kan b'ovdei kachavim. If a Yid were to do that, so that would be something acceptable. But if a non-Jew were to do that, that would be unacceptable or unacceptable. So that's the Gemara. So a Yid's allowed to do this, and a non-Jew cannot do this. So Tosos asks the question from the famous Mishnah in Maseches Avos. He says, we have in the first Mishnah, in the first parak of Maseches Avos, Al tiokavadim hamishamishim esarav ela almanas, rather almanas lekalapras. So the Mishnah says a person should not serve Hashem like an Eved who's collecting his payment. That's not how a person should serve Hashem. But the Gemara says that a person can give tzedakah al manas sheyich b'ni b'shul she'eska l'chayil maba. And Tosa says the same exact thing the Gemara answers. One's referring to haynu b'umos ha'olam shetoon al harishonis. It's referring to the umos ha'olam, which is a very challenging thing. But Tosa says that the Mishnah Avos is talking to the Goyim. So it's talking to the Goyim. The Goyim should not serve Hashem Amanas l'kabel pras, but Yisrael can serve Hashem amanas l'kabel pras. Now, what comes out for Tosfos is very, very weak, because that means Mishnah Avos is referring to Goyim. I wouldn't imagine this is a book of ethics for the Goyim. It's a book of ethics, a book of Avos for Yisrael. But that's how Tosfos reconciles the stira of whether a person's a tzad gamur or a person's not a tzad gamur. So that's Tosfos' answer, but many, many other answers are given, and none of them really line up with the Shita of Tosfos. But Rashi also has an interesting approach. Rashi says that Haredzet Tzadik Gamor Imrogabakach, if one does this regularly. So at first glance, that sounds like a very strange thing. If you give a tzedakah, the shame, one's child, Bishvil Sheyich Bini, okay, that's not a Tzadik Gamor. But if you always give more and more, just Sheyich Bini, that's actually better by giving it more as opposed to just doing it one time, which sounds very strange. You would think the best level would be just giving tzedakah L'Shem Shemayim. So if you give it one time, you're not such a tzaddik. But if you give over and over, each time the shame, sheyich b'ni, that's Rashi says, that's actually better. So what does that mean? It's better to give more times the shame, sheyich b'ni. So Rav Yashiv says, which also doesn't sound, it sounds like Pshat and Rashi, but it doesn't sound like it works out so well. So Rav Yashiv writes that one time a guy gives sheyich b'ni, that's not a tzaddik gamer. Why not? Because he thinks, okay, so this time it didn't work. But next time, it will work. So over time, when you give money, and you see that's not really producing any payrolls, so eventually you give up. So Rav Yashiv says, no, the fact that he's not giving up each time, he asks, I'm going to get to Dhaka so I win the lottery. It didn't work this time. Okay. He's going to try it again, and again, and again, and again. Each time, I give up already. I'm not going to do it. The fact that he continues to give, Rav Yashiv understands, must be that he's a real tzaddik gamur, that he's not letting that get in the way. He really doesn't believe that he's going to win the lottery because of that. Rather, he's giving because he really truly believes that he should be giving tzedakah. So it sounds like that if you do it so many times, eventually you'll ignore the reason why you're doing this, and you're doing it simply because Hashem tells you to do it. So that's how Rav Yashiv says why you're tzaddik gamur. So if a guy gives one time amanas l'kabel pras, it's a bad thing. But if you do this and you're rogah b'kach, so then that becomes what a person becomes a tzaddik gamur. So that's how Rabbi Yashiv understands this Rashi versus Tosos' understanding. So again, Tosos says it's a distinction between a Yisrael and a Goy. And Rabbi Yashiv, according to Rashi, thinks it's a distinction of doing it one time versus doing it many, many other times. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to see it. We had a long daf today, this week. But the other Achram give very, very interesting answers as to whether or not a person can be giving out manas l'kabel pras, whether that's a tzadik gamur or not. So Pnei Yeshua has a very, very interesting thing, and this is important just in terms of usage of words. If you were to ask a little kid, elementary school kid, which is better, tzaddik or chassid, I don't know if he would say what the difference is. If there is a difference, I'm not sure, even if you ask an adult what's the difference between a tzaddik and a chassid, if I would know which one is better. I oftentimes get confused which is better, but I'm going to refer to a Gemara in Moed Katan, which also makes such a distinction. But the Pnei Yeshua says, based on the Ran has a sefer called the Drashas HaRan, he writes there that there's a difference between a tzaddik and a chassid. I honestly think if I were to, if I didn't know any better, I probably would have said a tzaddik is greater than a chassid. That's probably what I would have thought, I'm obviously wrong. But he says that a tzaddik gamur is when a person gives b'shvil sheyichye b'ni. So that's a lower level. It's a tzaddik gamur. I mean, we'd all love to be a tzaddik gamur. But you do it with a little bit of a reason behind it, a little bit of a goal. You're trying to have your child be healed, saved, live a long life. But a chassid, lahavi, that guy's not a chassid. If you want to get to the level of being a chassid, he says that's what the Mishnah Avos is talking about. The Mishnah Avos is referring to chassidim. Because there's a Gemara, a very interesting Gemara in Baba Kama, the Pnei Yeshua invokes, that the Gemara says a person wants to be man debay lemeve chassida. You want to be a chassid? You know what you should do? The Gemara there says, l'kaim mile davos. The Gemara says you should learn Maseches Avos. Do you know what else the Gemara says? There are three Maseches, or three topics the Gemara says you should learn to become a chassid. Anyone know? Avos? Nezikin. And brachos, the Gemara says. Why those three? So the way Mefarshim said, the simple understanding is those are three categories in life. Nezikin is ben adam l'chavero, brachos is ben adam l'makom, and avos is ben adam l'atzmo, how a person works in his own midos himself, just working on himself. So brachos is again how you speak to Hashem, nezikin is how you treat your neighbor, and avos is working on yourself personally, internally. Those three categories. And the Gemara says, man debay l'mevi chasida, L'kai mila d'avos. That's one of the ideas. Work on Maseches Avos, then you can become a chassid. So we see that Maseches Avos is considered the sefer of chassidim. So tzaddik gamur is a wonderful thing. We don't talk about, Rosh Hashanah is right around the corner. We don't say, there's a tzaddik gamur, there's a bani, there's a Rosh Hashanah. We don't even speak about a chassid. So being a tzaddik gamur is not too shabby. I mean, the lam levav tzaddikim, we have a tzaddikim, which is a high level. But there's a chassid, which is even higher. If we could even understand what a chassid is, I don't know if we can. But a chassid is a guy who mamish just does mitzvahs without even thinking about the schar. The Gra was once asked about wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So the Gra apparently did not wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. An interesting sugya, whether one should or should not, or at what age or what stage in life. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, one who is machmir on other things, he should be machmir to wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. More than a year ago, Rav Weinberg and I were down in Atlanta at an OU convention, a rabbinic convention in the Blue Ridge Mountain. Sounds very cool. It was a very nice time we had, 50, 60 Rabbanim there. So Alan Fagan had invited Rav Weinberg, and I got to kind of come along with that. So we had a nice time. And came to davening, so Rav Weinberg and I were the only two who changed from Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And we certainly caught some looks from our fellow Rabbeim. So one of the guys is a rabbi. I don't even know where he is. I don't know what his name is even. But we were in shir together for a number of years in Rav Rosenzweig shir, and I kind of saw in the corner of my eye him like staring at me, like, "What am I doing wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin?" And then he comes over to me. He says, "I don't understand why you wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. I got a guy in my shul who, he's a Baal Tshuva and he's so machmir Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. I don't understand. It's so distracting during the davening. He's changing Rashi to Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin." And I said, "Well, at least he's coming to davening. No, why are you making an issue of that?" So I don't get it. Where does it come from? I said, it's a straight Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, if a guy's machmir in something, so he should be machmir in Rabbeinu Tam. So maybe this Baal Teshuva isn't so machmir in other things yet, but that's something to get so upset about. I don't understand.
It's good he came to the convention.
Yeah, yeah, sure, exactly, right? So either way, the Gra was once asked about wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And he said, if I'm choshesh for Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, there are apparently 64 other types of tefillin. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are the simple ones, but there are really a number of other different shittas you can fit in. He said there's 64 different shittas. So I'm going to go ahead and put 64 pairs of tefillin on, and that's going to be $64,000, firstly. And then to change, I don't have time to wear all that. So then he said, So then he said, but then the guy said to him, well, don't you want Olam Haba? Like extra schar just to be insured? He says, I'm not in it for Olam Haba. I'm just in it because Hashem told me I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He told me to do mitzvahs, I'm doing mitzvahs. He told me to wear a tefillin, I'm following the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not here to try to chop schar in Olam Haba. That's not my goal. My goal is to do mitzvahs. So that's the grud. The grud's level is, you know, just do mitzvahs. You and I, we have a little bit in, you know, we get, the incentive is there's a goal at the end. There's Olam Haba at the end. So a tzaddik gomer is a wonderful thing. A tzaddik gomer still can do mitzvahs, l'shem some type of schar of yichye b'ni. But a chassid is a whole other level. That's the level of the grow. We don't even think about any reward that's going to be. So that's the Pnei Yeshua's understanding, quoting the grow, the difference between a tzaddik and a chassid. So I was reminded of a gemara in Mori Katam. The gemara there discusses, it's the third parak of Mori Katam, about cutting nails. And the Gemara quotes a braisa that says, Shlosha Dvarim Nemru Bitsupranayim, the three matters that were said about cutting nails. Hakovram Tzaddik, one who buries them, is called a Tzaddik. Sorfan, one who burns them, is a Chassid. And Zorkan, one who just throws them out the window or wherever in the floor, he's a Rasha. And the Gemara explains, why is that? Why is he a Rasha? Because if a woman who's pregnant passes over, it could cause her to have a miscarriage. And the Gemara says, in the Beis Medrash, where there are no women, there's no concern. So you could throw them if you wanted in the Beis Medrash. But the Gemara does say that a tzaddik buries the nails, and a chassid burns the nails. What's the difference? Why is one better? Because when a tzaddik buries the nails still exist in the world. They say, halachically, flushing down the toilet is the same thing as burying them. It accomplishes the same thing. It just gets them out of the way. But the nails still exist in the world. There's some danger in the world. But a chassid, he burns them. They don't exist anymore. So the truth is, many gedolim burn the nails. Some have the practice, I think Chazan Ish had the practice, of saving up all his nails, and Erev Pesach he would burn the nails with his chametz. Some have the practice, I think Rav Weinberger might do this, some burn it every Erev Shabbos. When they cut their nails, they take the nails and they burn them. So you have to just be very careful with, you know, obviously with fires in general, but that's a chassid. A chassid burns them. That's another level. A tzaddik buries them, so you know, puts them down and flushes them down the toilet. So the common practice is flushing down the toilet, that means you're a tzaddik. But a chassid, to take out the matches and start burning them, that's a chassid. So either way, we see that it's a chilek between a tzaddik and a chassid based in the Gemara Mori Katan, and that's how the Pnei Yeshua understands this difference of one who's who performs the mitzvah of tzedakah, sheyich b'ni, he's a tzaddik gomer, he's not quite a chassid. The chassid is what the Mishnah and Avos is talking about, where he doesn't even think about any schar, he just mamish does it because he's an Eved Hashem. And that's it. Now the Chida gives it another answer. I think we're up to the fourth answer now. When you're a tzaddik gamar, the difference between Sheyich b'ni is a tzaddik gamar versus the Mishnah in Avos, where it says you should not be over Hashem lekabel pras. So the Pesach Einayim, who knows who wrote the Pesach Einayim? Anyone know? The Chida, one of the many svarim of the Chida. It's his commentary on Shas, on Gemara. So he says there's a difference between performing a mitzvah chiyuvis versus a mitzvah kiyumis. Fulfilling a mitzvah that I have to do, I must do, versus doing a mitzvah that I chose to do. So if I have to do a mitzvah, so my boss tells me I need to do this, so I say, you know what, I'll only do it because I'm getting paid. So that's where we frown upon that. That's where the Mishnah Avos says, no, that's when you should serve Hashem, because we have to do the mitzvah. Hashem says you must work tefillin every single day. You must, you know, shake lulav and sukkah. That's a mitzvah chiyuvis. So then you have to do it because Hashem told you to do this. But if you already fulfilled your mitzvah and you're just doing a voluntary mitzvah, he says, for example, you gave the minimal amount of tzedakah that you need to give. Who knows what the minimal amount of tzedakah per year is? Anyone know? Not anything. It's close to anything. It's pretty minimal. Pruta, not quite a pruta. It's close. The Gemara in Babasa says a third of a shekel. That's all you have to give the entire year, which is not a lot of money at all. A third of a shekel, you fulfill the obligation of tzedakah. Anything more than that is bonus. So the chida says, if you're giving your shlisha shekel, you're giving it l'shem, you know, shiach yibini, that's not the right thing to do. But once you've given your third of a shekel for the year, so anything after that is a bonus, that's an option, that's voluntary, that's where the chida says you can be motivated by the fact that you want to do l'shem yich yibini. That's his chilek between a chiv versus a kim. Now the Chida actually plays interestingly. It fits into another Gemara. I don't know if you had a chance to see the Gemara in Erevin. Gaon Erev and those who learned Daf Yomi, we have come across this at just a few days ago. The Gemara was talking about Rabbi Zeira. The Rabbi Zeira was a very interesting personality throughout Shas. Rabbi Zeira, he lived in Bavel. And when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he felt that Eretz Yisrael was really the place where one should live and that one should learn. And there are many Gemaras that talk about the level of Torah that came from Bavel was much greater than the Torah in Eretz Yisrael was greater than the Torah in Bavel. So Rabbi Zeira wanted to forget all the learning in Bavel to have a clean slate to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Fascinating. And the Gemara says he fasted 100 fast days so that he should forget all his learning. So the Gemara didn't say whether it was effective or not. I don't know if the Gemara we're about to see was because he fasted 100 days or not, or the Gemara we're about to see was because he became old and just forgot Stam. But Rabbi Zeira was a very serious individual. The Gemara also says about Rabbi Zeira, just to understand his personality, he would test himself every single day, sit inside an oven that was on, and to see if he would get burnt, to make sure he was protected from Gehenna. And he was every day he went in, he was fine, and he came out. And when the Chachamim got word he was doing this, they kind of had a little chalisha das that there was a person in their time that did such a thing and wasn't affected by the oven. So they kind of gave him a little ayin hara. And one time he sat in the oven and singed his legs, and his legs got burnt. And he was called, there was some title like Reb Zeira, like the burnt legs or something they called him. I don't remember the term in Aramaic. But Reb Zeira is a very, very serious individual. So the Gemara says in Erevin that Reb Zeira at some point in life, again, I don't know if it's because he fasted 100 days or he got old, have a chalish migirsa. He was forgetting his memory. His memory was gone. In fact, actually, I went last night. Anyone here do Daf Yomi? Anyone do the Zichur program? You really should do Zichur. Zichur is a program that helps you remember things. We actually last night had a nice little get-together. The Rabbi Goldhar, who does the Zichur program, we got together 20 guys from Woodmere who do this. We just went around the room and just went through Shas. Erevin, every guy knew the Daf around the table. It was incredible. About three major points in every single daf. I really encourage anyone who wants to know Shas to do the Zichur program if you're doing Daf Yomi. It's absolutely incredible. I'll tell you about it right now, I guess, since we have some time. The way it works is each daf has a different simon to it. So each daf, let's say Daf Beis, there's a simon of its bias, a house. And you have a whole image of a house, of a guy walking into a house, and there's a korah, there's a beam, and a little story of three major points, which helps you remember each daf. Just 30 seconds, and then eventually from Brachos to Erevin Daf Lamed Beis, you know it all on your fingertips. You have to chazer, but it's an incredible, incredible program. It's called Zichur program. Anyways, so Reb Zeira, his memory was gone. He lost his memory, so he couldn't learn so much anymore. They didn't have Svarim like we had. They had to memorize. They had the text of the mission in their heads. They'd chazer, they'd talk back and forth, but he just didn't have the memory anymore. So what did he do? The Gemara says that Azel v'yasev apischa derav Yehuda bar Ami, he sat by the entranceway to the house of Yehuda, or the Beis Medrash of Yehuda. And he says, Ki nafki v'ayli rabbanan, when the rabbanan will come in and out of the Beis Medrash, Aikim v'kamayo, I'd stand up for them, v'kaba b'hu agra, this way I could collect some schar. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara goes on to say that there's a child walked out, and he asked a question about a bracha, fine. So the Chida asks a question, how could Rabbi Zeira, the great Rabbi Zeira, how could he say he's standing up for the Talmid Chachamim just to be Makabal Schar? Isn't that against the mission of us? That person should not serve Hashem Amnas L'Kala Pras? So okay, you and I could do that. Okay, it's not the best. So we're not fulfilling the mission of us. It's not an Isser. If I say I'm going to do Mitzvah L'Kala Pras, that's certainly a good thing. I'm just not reaching the standards of Masechas Avos. Okay, I've got where to move to. I want to grow. Rabbi Zeira, however, Rabbi Zeira Stavka went by the entranceway to get schar, he says, v'akaba ba'agra. How is that allowed? And the Chida says this difference, this distinction between a mitzvah that you're chayv to do and a mitzvah that you choose to do. A mitzvah that you're chayv to do, the Chida says, this is what he says in Maseches Brachos Daf Chavches, a mitzvah that you're chayv to do, that's when we say, al tu kavadim l'kava pras. That's when you should not do an obligatory mitzvah just to receive schar. But if you're doing something that you don't have to do, that you're opting to do, so then you're allowed to do l'kabel pras. And Rabbi Zeira certainly did not have to stand by the entranceway to the Beis Medrash. He chose to. It was a mitzvah kiyumis, and therefore he was allowed to say explicitly he's doing this l'kabel pras in order to receive schar. So that's the distinction according to the understanding of the Chida.
Is there a difference about schar in this world versus schar in Olam HaBa?
Very interesting. I did not see that distinction. It could be this next Aruch HaNer might make that distinction. I think that's where he's trying to get to a certain extent. it's not a distinction between Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba, but more about a Gashmius versus Ruchnius. So Ruchnius could even be in this world. But that's, I think, a similar approach to what you're saying. So if you look at the Aruch HaNer, which kind of, it's a good segue to the Aruch HaNer's understanding, is that very point. If you look at number four, we can read this together inside. The Aruch HaNer says, L'anias daiti yeshlomer devadai misha omer l'rabo avod oscha bemuna. A guy says, I'm going to serve Hashem bemuna shlema, b'shvil shetitain li schar hareza maguna. I want to serve Hashem, but in order to give me schar, reward, parnasa, money, gashmius, that's definitely maguna. Aval ha'omer l'rabo avod oscha bemuna b'shul shetarsheni shanim rabos lios avdecha. Now listen to this distinction. If I say I want to serve my Rebbe, my God, so that he should give me more life, not to just live longer, but to live life so I could serve him even longer, more years, ain ze maguna. That's not maguna. Adraba. That's actually praiseworthy. He's showing how much he loves his master. He's not saying that his child should just live. He wants his child to live to serve Hashem. Not to live a life to be able to play sports all day long and just to make money. He wants his child to live she'ezke she'yizke l'olam haba. That's not a maguna. That's a wonderful thing. Ukvar ne'mar ki ein b'mavet zicha b'shol miyodelach im kein eino chavetz rak inyanim lehodos l'Hashem chazdo v'shiabdu b'anav l'kadosh baruch hu yamim rabim. That's the understanding. That's be'emes a tzadik gamar. That's a distinction. That's, I think, pretty much what Pinuah is trying to say. That you're living to, you want a longer life to serve Hashem beruchnis, bein b'olam hazeh, bein b'olam haba. That's a tzad the gummer. But if it's going to be lekava pras, which is just a payment, I want to have a bracha this year of parnasa. That's hareze maguna. I guess we could raise that question. People go to Uman this year. Unfortunately, not going to be that case for many people. But people go to Uman because they have incredible bracha from going to Uman. I have a cousin of mine who's one of the people behind all the sponsorships of Uman. So he's not a Breslover at all, but I don't know exactly the details, but a number of years ago, he wasn't doing well in business, and then he bought some nursing home, and he and his partner went, and not knowing any better, and just went to Uman for whatever reason, and then they did incredibly well, and a lot of money many years later. So they attributed to going to Uman. So the question, are you going to Uman to have Parnasa and Gashmias? So that's helpful as well. We all need Gashmias. Or you're going to Uman for Ruchnis. What's the goal? So here as well, what's the goal? To give schar, that to have more life, more time, more energy to learn to serve Hashem. That's a wonderful thing. If you're going simply just to have more money, that's hareze maguna. So let's finish off with one last piece of the Bnei Yisachar. The Bnei Yisachar, it's in Chodesh Sivan, the last page. We can read this together. We'll be part of it together. So he was questioning this story also of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira would stand up to be makabel schar for the Talmidim who would walk through. So he asks the question, if you look three lines down in number 8, he says, Mashi pirashna ha-mishna al-tiu kavadim ha-mishamshin etzarav ha-mnasla kaba pras. Don't serve Hashem like a master, like one serves a master to receive payment. Ela ha-yu kavadim ha-mishamshin etzarav shalol al-mnasla kaba pras. We serve a master not because we get reward. And he notes, and this is a key point, and that Mishnah ends v'yehe mor shemayim aleichem, and a person should be overtaken by the fear of God, Yerushimayim. So he says, hine asim v'yehe mor shemayim aleichem. That concluding phrase, the comment of mor shemayim, ein lo chibur ala kodem. What's the connection? We try to figure out the many questions in the Mishnayos and the Avos. So sometimes it sounds like there are different halachas or statements that have nothing to do with each other. Just randomly put together, many Mishnahs, and sometimes they are, maybe there's no connection. Many of the statements are just said by a particular, Tana, B'kiva Haya Omer. He would say the following few things. Who says they're connected to each other? But the Bnei Yisachar was under the assumption that it must be that V'yehei Mor Shemayim Aleichem is connected to the previous statement of how to serve a master, how to serve Hashem, but it doesn't sound like there's any fundamental connection. And then he asks a further question. He quotes that Gemara in Rabbi Zeira, going one line further. Hinei mashe hishtadel Rabbi Zeira, shelo lizbatel kerega min haTorah mitzvah. He didn't want to lose any moment. He was so makbin in everything. Rabbi Zeira, I'm not sure I mentioned this here in the past, There's a Gemara in Nida that Rabbi Yirmiyah is known for asking a lot of interesting questions. In fact, Rabbi Yirmiyah was kicked out of the Beis Medrash once. The Gemara in Bava Basra says because he was asking a question, if a mikveh minus a tiny drop, if that's a kosher mikveh, mikveh needs to be 40 sa. 40 sa minus a tiny drop, is that a good mikveh or not? And they said, Rabbi Yirmiyah, stop asking these questions about the, you know, it's such a fine question. Just, they threw him out of the Beis Medrash for asking such questions. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yirmiyah was once asking Rabbi Zeira, what would the din be if a woman gave birth to a cow? Would she be a yoledes? So it's a very strange question, of course. So the Gemara says, and Rashi comments, the Gemara says that he was trying to bring Rabbi Zeira lide gichuch velo gichuch. He tried to make Rabbi Zeira laugh. Rabbi Zeira didn't laugh. Because the Rashi comments there that he was very mock with no leitzanus at all. Rabbi Zeira says no leitzanus at bechlal. Not at all. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked such interesting questions. He was trying to add some flavor to the base medrash, to the yeshiva. You know, you gotta ask good questions. You look at Rabbi Zilberstein's svarim. It's all very interesting shilas about trying to get people engaged in learning. Rabbi Yirmiyah had that approach, and Rabbi Zeira wasn't hearing of it. So Rabbi Zeira was very, very, very serious. So he wasn't missing even one moment of learning of Torah that he could chop. I think I saw somewhere, I don't think I made this up. If I did, it's very intelligent of myself for making this up. But I don't think I could have made this up on my own. I think either the Karen Orer or the Aruch HaNer connects the Gemara in Nida, that Rabbi Zeira was very serious, he wouldn't laugh from Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. It connects it to the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin, where Kam Rabba v'shachat Rabbi Zeira. They had Purim together. Can you imagine, after depicting who Rabbi Zeira is, having a Purim smooth with Rabbi Zeira? He's like really uptight, you know. So Rabba couldn't tolerate it, so he shechted Rabbi Zeira, he got rid of him. He said, what kind of Purim? The guy has no late sonnets at all? So I think someone says this. If not, mochel me. So either way, Rabbi Zeira wasn't missing even just one second of learning of mitzvahs, so he's standing up every second he can for every Talmud who walks through the Beis Medrash. So he says, Zeira Sasch asks a question, what we ask, not our question, but what the Mefarshim ask. So how could Rabbi Zeira do a mitzvah nas l'kabel pras? So these are the two questions of the Bnei Sasra. Number one is, what's Vihei Yerushimayim at the end of that Mishnah doing? And number two is, how could Rabbi Zeira do mitzvah l'kabel pras? And Bnei Sasra says something very, very interesting, and it's very related to this concept of standing up for Talmidei Chachamim and standing up for the people older than you. So we'll read this last paragraph together. U'bi'arnu adavar al pi masha amru b'zahar. The Zohar teaches us. The Pasuk, the person should stand up for those who are older, and you should show a hider, show some kavod, honor to those who are pnei zaken, which is a reference to a tamil chacham. So seva is an elder, and a zaken in this context is a tamil chacham. So the Zohar comments, man kachami dikna. Chami means to see. Dikna is a zaken. It's a good trick to know in Aramaic that if you know a diktuk, if you don't know diktuk, this doesn't really help. If you know diktuk, this does help. In diktuk, we know we have something called hispael. Hispael is reflexive. To get dressed, you get yourself dressed. It's hislabish, you get yourself dressed. Hisrachet is to bathe oneself. Hisrachet, hey, tough. It's a prefix to a word. It's hispael. So now there's some words that you have to actually switch the tough and the shin. So let's say the word shimush would be hishdamesh. You switch the shin and the tough. So sometimes in Aramaic, the tuf and shin are switched around. There's some words like zakin, you do his dakein. You switch the zayin and the tuf, but the tuf also turns to a dalet, his dakein. Or tsar is hitstair. The tuf turns into a tes. So whenever you have that switch in his pile, it tells you oftentimes in Aramaic, you switch the dalet and the zayin, a tadi and a tes. So it says dikna, it really should be zikna, the zayin and dalet switch. So zikna is a zakin, is a an older person. So the Gemara, the Zohar says, man ka chami, one who sees dikna, an old person, yikarta, he should show honor, yakar, he should show honor to him, v'lo ka ichsof mikame, don't be embarrassed from him. That's the comment of the Zohar. So, nir levar divrayim kadoshim, with the Bnei Sashka said, I want to explain these holy words. Debo letaritz, the Zohar is trying to answer, mashe saim bezosa mitzvah, v'yareisa melokecha. The Pasuk, when describing standing up for the seva and standing up for the zaken, it finishes off v'yareisa melokecha. What is that doing there? So he says, v'amri hachi kamar, mipnei seva talking v'darta, azai v'yareisa melokecha. When a person stands up for someone older than you, when you stand up for Talmud Chacham, the result, Azai v'yiras Elokecha, you're going to gain Yiras Elokim, Yiras Shemayim, Hainu Tiyas Schacha. That's your schar. You want to learn how to be Yiras Shemayim? You know what the way to get there? Stand up for someone older than you. Stand up for someone who's a Talmud Chacham. I've many times I've missed this opportunity. Sometimes you're in a place and you see an old guy walking around. You feel funny, like standing up for an old guy. Like even for your parents, I don't stand up for my father often. It's uncomfortable. I never did. Now suddenly at the age of 39, they start standing up. It's strange. You see a Sephardi, you see the Carmelis in front. Every time Davar Carmeli walks in, his son stand up for him. The Sephardi house is completely different than an Ashkenazi house. Don't raise your hand, but I doubt any of you stand up for your parents when they walk in the room. And we should, myself included. We don't. We're just uncomfortable because we didn't do that growing up. The Sephardim, they stand up for rabbis, they stand up for older people, they stand up for their parents. So that's how you get Yiras Shemayim. So that's the answer. You want Yiras Shemayim? It's very simple. Stand up for the older people, stand up for Talmud Chacham, stand up for your parents, and then the result will be, V'yirasam elokecha hainu tiyeh scharcha. That's going to be a schar, shetavo bilibcha yiras Shemayim. So he says that's now why it makes total sense why that mission at the end concludes. If you look at the last three lines of this B'nai Sashar, he says, "Al tiyu kavadim hamashamshin esarav abnasa kabal pras." Don't serve your Hashem like you serve a master to receive schar, to receive payment. Rather, v'yehei moreh shemayim aleichem. That should be your only goal. Your only goal should be of yer shemayim. Aval zosu b'chov aleichem mitzvah sher schara. The schar should be yer shemayim b'chova aleichem l'shtadav b'mitzvah kedos abnasa kabal pras kazeh. You can't serve Hashem to receive schar. You can only serve Hashem in order to receive Yiras Shemayim. That's a goal, a schar, that you're allowed to look for. It's similar to the Aruch Haner, who said you're allowed to do it for a certain ruchnius, a schar and ruchnius here as well. The schar and ruchnius would be Yiras Shemayim. Al-Kain Amar Rebbe Zeir, therefore Rebbe Zeir makes total sense. Why was he able to do standing up for the Talmid HaChachamim for schar? It wasn't just stam schar. He wasn't doing this for schar and Olam Haba. He was trying to earn Yiras Shemayim. That was a very real result he wanted right now. That's the key to Yiras Shemayim. So Rebbe Zeir did it for the Agra of Yiras Shemayim, and that's exactly what the Mishnah means here as well. So if a guy wants to give a tzedakah, so I guess putting it back into the tzedakah, if a guy wants to give tzedakah in order to gain, so it doesn't quite fit in exactly, but you want to do it for some ruchnis type of benefit, whether that's ruchnis of having a long life for yourself, for your children to serve Hashem, or it's some benefit for you to have Yiras Shemayim, so that would be completely allowed. But once it's for something outside of the world of ruchnis, that's what we say, Hareza Maguna. But we learn from here at least, we're all trying to look for Yiras Shemayim, everything's a kol b'di Shemayim chutz mi'Yiras Shemayim. The only thing that's not in our hand is Yiras Shemayim. So how do you do this? So there happened to be a fascinating discussion between the Maharsha and the Chazanish and Rav Moshe. Can you daven for Yiras Shemayim? Is that allowed? Can you daven for Yiras Shemayim? Everything else in the world comes because Hashem gives me. Can one daven for Yiras Shemayim? What do you think about that?
Yes.
Yes, you think yes. And why would you think not? Anyone think no?
Well, it depends what, if you're saying, Yiras Shemayim is for. If you're saying Yiras Shemayim is for, Yiras Shemayim is saying Hashem is going to pour more bracha onto me for parnasa, etc., then no, you can't daven for it. But if it's Yiras Shemayim right away, then maybe you...
So that, but let's say Yiras Shemayim is correct. Let's say Yiras Shemayim is in line, it's proper just to serve Hashem better. Would davening for Yiras Shemayim be considered mishemayim? I mean, hakobi de shemayim, chutz mi Yiras Shemayim. So now that I'm davening to Hashem, is that now trying to put my Yiras Shemayim in Hashem's hands? Or is my davening now in my own hand? How do you view davening? That's a machlokas.
It's part of your shabbos.
Part of your shabbos is davening. So that's considered in my hand.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the debate. Is Yiras Shemayim, I should try to work all my own without trying to tap into Hashem's kochos and my old kochos? And the moment I daven, that's actually putting in Shemayim's hands or not. So that's a fascinating thing. What is tefillah? There's somewhat of a side topic here. So some say tefillah is a way of, tapping into Hashem's Hashem. Others say tefillah, Hashem doesn't need me to daven. God needs me to daven. Davening is for me. It's for me to just connect to Hashem. Hashem's already connected. Hashem's already doing his part. It's about me just feeling better. There's a beautiful, I always forget if it's the chidah or the shla. I think it's the shla. That says, if you take the word Adam, and you spell out the letters, b'milui, so Adam, Aleph, is Aleph, Lamed, Peh. Dalet is Dalet, Lamed, Tuf. And Mem is Mem, Mem. If you take the hidden letters of Aleph, Lamed, Peh, and the Mem, which the Dalet, which is Lamed, Tuf, and the Mem, those letters spell the letters Mispalo. The essence of an Adam, the essence of a person is to be Mispalo. That's who we are. Adam, we're supposed to daven. The beginning of Bereishis talks about that it wouldn't rain until Adam davened. So the tefillah is our part. So that's the machlokas. How much do you view tefillah as the chelik of Adam, or it's really a chelik min hashemayim? But either way, we see from this Bnei Yisachar, another way outside of davening, another way to earn Yerushalayim is showing kavod to those who are older, showing kavod to those who are Talmid Chachamim, and showing kavod to one's parent. And that's really the schar that you can actually do mitzvahs for in order to get Yerushalayim. Okay, we'll stop here. Now, the next 2 weeks, we're not going to have Chabura, only